I'm the music major. With
tears rolling down your face, with your heart feeling like it's gonna break, when your earth feels like it's about to shake, when you've taken all that you can take, just remember where your help comes from. Realize it's got somewhere to run. Don't worry about what you're going through. Instead of worrying, here's what you can do.
The day the Lord has made, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. The highest praise on this evening. We thank God for life and life eternal in the name of Jesus. As we go into this Bible study on tonight, God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
God is good all the time. Pastor told us Sunday, and all the time, God is good. I agree with that statement. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this midweek virtual Bible study. We thank you for allowing our ears and our hearts to receive what you have for us to receive tonight. May we grow, may we develop, may we improve in our walk with you, God. So through the Logos word, give us revelation. Give us, Father God, knowledge. Give us information and discernment. Give us wisdom from on high on tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that there's more, and we want more. So those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you said we will be fulfilled. So thank God for us who are hungry and thirsty after more word. So may it not come back void, but shall it accomplish that which you sent it to do. And we'll give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we are here for our midweek Bible study again. Last week, for those of you who were tuned in, we talked about the power and purpose of prayer. The power and purpose of prayer or praying. And God did not release me from that, so we're going to continue in that thought today as well.
Amen.
It's a part two, if you will. It may turn into a series until he released me from it. But there's so much to learn about prayer, and God is right now just saying to continue in this teaching on the power and purpose of prayer. Just by way of review from last week, we learned that the prayer produces several things. There are certain things that created or that are created through the person and the power of prayer. Prayer. Prayer allows us to become persistent, resilient, meaning we have that ability not to quit, not to give up. Sometimes you see people who have backslidden or who have given up on God or given up on his church or sometimes given up on themselves. When we pray, there's something supernaturally that happens, I believe, through prayer, because we are spiritual beings, we have a body, and we also have a soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. But that spirit, man, as we pray, gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And many of us can attest to the fact that possibly we wanted to quit a long time ago. We wanted to give up a long time ago. We wanted to stop a long time ago. But for some reason, we're still here. We're still at it. We're still going. That persistence is through our prayer life. The second thing that prayer produces is patience. The Bible always reminds us to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Again, I say wait. Isaiah said, wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall run and not get weary and walk and not faint. So we thank God for the ability to wait. Thirdly, peace. We need peace in the days in which we're living. Life is happening at the speed of thought. It's moving so rapidly than the days I grew up in, and maybe you're a little older than I am, and you understand that the world was so radically different decades ago. I was speaking to a coworker today, and he said, everything has changed, and I had to concur. I had to agree. But God gives you a peace which surpasses all understanding. So when we pray, we get that peace, persistence, and patience, and peace. Finally, power and prosperity. We get power. We get strengthened. We get stronger when we pray. There's something that happens to our inward man. We get powerful. We don't let fear and doubt and unbelief control us any longer. Finally, we pray and prosperity comes. We pray for God to help us to budget, to stop spending. God, help us to get our finances in order. God, help us in the area of disciplines when it comes to our money and it comes to doing things. Help us to take care of our bodies. We pray, God, to eat healthier. We pray for prosperity. To get educated or and pursue other ambitions and other desires in life. So prosperity is also a result of prayer. Amen? But that was some things we went over last week. Now, this week I want to focus more in some specifics. Number one, there is a right, I believe, and I'm going to show you through scripture why I believe this. There is a right way to pray, and there is a wrong way to pray. There's a right way to pray, and there is a wrong way to pray. And Jesus gives us a wonderful example in scripture. If you can go to Luke chapter number 18, we're going to see this. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 18. There is a right way to pray, and there is a wrong way to pray. Luke chapter 18, verse number 9. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My wife and my daughter are here. They are agreeing with the word tonight, the Bible study. To God be all the glory. There's a right way to pray and there's a wrong way to pray. And we're going to start there. Again, remember that thought, the power and purpose of prayer. Luke 18, verse number 9, reads like this. And he spoke this parable unto certain people which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Maybe you know somebody like that tonight. I've been around some self-righteous folk. I've been around some legalistic people before. I've been around some judgmental Christians. And God is saying through this parable, Jesus is saying, I want to teach this parable and show the contrast between these two men so that we could pray the right way and not the wrong way. Luke chapter 18, verse number 9. He gave this parable for those who trusted in themselves and who I love the word he used here. They actually despised others. They looked down on others. They had a disregard for others. Look what he says in verse number 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, and the other one was a publican or a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all of my possessions or all of my money. This Pharisee is Jesus showing you and I the wrong way to pray. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, the extortioners, the adulterer, like this tax collector, those wicked folk. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I got my act together. People of God, holiness is right. I agree with this man of God who's saying I'm living right. I'm not sinning. And God does want that from us. But he had an arrogance about it. He looked down on people who he thought was falling short. So he was thanking God that he was not like other people. He was holy, but he was arrogant, and he was puffed up and prideful. That's the wrong way to pray. Then he says, I'm a tither. Another good deed. But the Bible says, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. He's boasting. He's bragging that he's a tither. He's going to God who knows our hearts. Going to God, telling God how he's getting straight A's on his Christian report card, if you will. And finally, he says, I fast twice a week. I turn down my plate twice a week. He was doing all the right things. All of us are aspiring and desiring to fast. We are aspiring and desiring to pray. We want to tithe faithfully. We want to live holy. Yes, those are great desires. But Jesus said this is the wrong way to pray because his heart was not right. He's giving God a laundry list of all the things he's doing right. And now let's look at this tax collector. Let's look at this publican, how he prayed. This is the right way to pray. And the publican or tax collector stood afar off. He would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his chest and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says in verse number 14, I tell you, this man went down back to his house justified more than the other. For everyone that exalts himself will be abased or will be brought down, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's the right way to pray, with the spirit of humility. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us have gotten it all right. And that's the right way to pray. Jesus saying that God is doing all the right stuff. Yeah, he looked good on the outside, but that legalistic cold heart, God was not receiving that. And the second man, he couldn't even look up. He had shame. He had guilt. He was embarrassed about his life and lifestyle. He had condemnation. But he said, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus did have mercy on him. He said, that other man went back right. He had it right. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. There's a right way to pray. There's a wrong way to pray. And if you continue reading, let's read it. I didn't want to read it, but let's read this. Verse 15, and they brought unto him infants, little babies, that he would touch them, and the disciples, now this is the disciples. The disciples saw it, and they rebuked the people that brought the little babies for Jesus to touch. We need help, people of God. Then Jesus said, but Jesus called them, and he said, suffer the little children not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Even his own disciples needed prayer because Jesus loved babies. He loved little children. He said, don't rebuke the children from coming unto me. So we all need prayer. I want to move on, but he's also talking about the rich young ruler. Y'all know the story of the rich young ruler? He's kind of like that arrogant person that we just talked about. The rich young ruler said, I'm living right. I'm doing all the things right since I was a child. And Jesus said, go and sell all your possessions. He went away sorrowful because that became his master. That became his God. His money became his idol. So even though in verse number 8, we went to Luke 18 last week, where we talked about the woman who was persistent, who kept coming to the judge. But all of these parables in Luke chapter number 18, the woman that was persistent, the person that was puffed up, the tax collector that fell convicted and condemned, the disciples that rebuked the babies for coming to Jesus and he could lay hands on them, and finally this rich young ruler. Jesus gave all these examples of the right way to pray and the wrong way to pray. Amen? We're gonna move on, but that's my first point tonight. We must always try to pray with humility. Amen. Number one, we must always try to pray with humility. I wrote the word try there, because it's not always easy. You could be having a bad day. You could be in a bad mood. Your emotions can be off that day. You can be in what the Bible says, in the flesh. And you can't, you know, I heard a person say, I was looking at Facebook and somebody wrote a caption. It said, humble yourself or life will humble you. I was like, wow. It's kind of a true statement. He said, humble yourself, because the Bible says, the Bible tells us to humble ourselves. But this person wrote a second part to that. He says, humble yourself, or life will humble you. I know that's right. And somebody else on this Bible study saying, yeah, I know that's right too. But it's amazing how we're going to move on, but God tells us to not be self-righteous, not to be high-minded, not to be conceited. When we are living right, when we're getting things right, when we're going to church 52 Sundays a year, we're living holy, we have a sin-free life, we need to give God all the credit. Give God all glory. Amen? Number two, principle and point number two tonight. Number one, we must always try to pray with a spirit of humility. Number two, we must pray for healing always and pray for others to be healed. Number two, pray for healing always for our own selves and pray for others to be healed.
Amen.
Amen. Go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20, verse number 1. Go to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter number 20. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this is helping somebody tonight. The power and purpose of praying. The power and purpose of praying. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to find it myself. First and Second Samuel, and then you come to First and Second Kings. But go to 2 Kings chapter number 20. A familiar passage of scripture looking at King Hezekiah. This scripture always blesses me every time I read it because God healed me. When you've been healed and you've been set free, my wife and I was going to say me and my wife, but we had a member of our church, Evangelist Elizabeth Page was her name. She was our eldest member for a season, and she was a school teacher.
Yes.
And one time we was at her hospital bed visiting her, and Pastor Rebecca, you know, we know how to speak, we know how to talk correctly in proper grammar, but Pastor Rebecca said, yeah, me and Pastor, she said, Pastor and I, my wife and I always chuckle. My wife went to lunch with Pastor Elizabeth Page, Evangelist one time, Red Lobster, and they had such a good outing because she was just such a proper woman and spoke so eloquently. And I miss her dearly. She was just a wonderful member of our church and brought so much wisdom and love to New Creation Church while she was here on earth. But Pastor Rebecca and I have been healed by God in our physical bodies, and we thank God that he's a healer.
Yes.
So we must always pray for healing. Maybe you're on this line and you have pain in your body, or you have a situation with a disease or infirmity. Maybe you have a handicap or a disability. Possibly you're going through something, you're on certain medications. God can heal you. God will heal you. And we're looking at King Hezekiah here, and 2 Kings chapter number 20. Again, number two, principle number two, and point number two tonight, pray for healing always and for others to be healed. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said, thus saith the Lord, get your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept and cried sorely. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again, I feel the Holy Ghost, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. Glory be to God. On the third day, you shall go up into the house of God, and I will add 15 years to your life. and I will deliver you. That's powerful. The Bible says Hezekiah in that day was a king. He got the people of God to come back to God. He got rid of all the idols out of God's church. He tore down all the false idols. He tore down all the false gods. Hezekiah was faithful to God. He got his people and the people of God to turn back to the one and true God. And he reminded God, he said, God, the prophet spoke into my life and said, get my house in order because I'm going to surely die. And I prayed to my God. And I said, God, remember, listen and look at how he prayed, people of God. He said, number one, I've had the right kind of heart. Pastor Rebecca preached this a lot, how God, when we get saved, born again, baptized, Holy Ghost filled, baptized with fire, how God, sometimes you may not feel that way, but he has given us a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. Some of us were cold. Some of us were mean. Some of us were angry when we got saved. And when we got saved and gave our life to Christ and got born again, confessed with our mouths, believed in our heart, God removed that cold heart and that bitter, angry heart and gave us a soft heart, gave us a kind heart, gave us a loving heart, and he removed that heart of stone. That's why it amazes me. I mean, can I just vent? Can I just vent a little bit? I'm going back in my day where I was a new believer, and there were some deacons in the church that I came up in. And, I'm a new believer. I'm coming to the church for the first time, and these were deacons and leaders in the church. And I would always speak to this deacon, and he would never speak back. Just never speak back. And I said, well, maybe he didn't hear me. And at times I would speak even louder, and he never would speak back to me. And I was baffled because I'm a new believer. But I see that as sometimes, as now that I've been around a while, that's that heart of stone. That's that mean heart. That heart that's not kind. People in the world speak back to you when you speak to them. God, the pastor says some of them. I'm trying to make a point. Yes is a blanket statement. Yes is a stereotypical statement. I said I'm venting. Because I know some mean Christians today. They come to church every Sunday. Not in New Creation. But I know some mean-spirited Christians and believers. And we just got to be honest. They're not like Hezekiah who said, remember me, I had a kind heart. I tried to do good by people, number two, he said. He said, I did right by people. This is why God reneged and turned his mind, changed his mind about Hezekiah. He said he had a sickness. Hear God, people. He had a sickness unto death. But he reminded God, I live right. I had the right heart. I was good to people. I tried to be good to people. And that's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm trying to make. We got to try to be good to everybody. I know what it's like to be mean. That was me. That deacon reminded me of the old me. So I know what it's like to be mean, not to speak back to someone when somebody speak to you. I understand that. So we as believers, this is why we got to pray. The purpose, again, remember what we're talking about, the purpose and power of prayer. If we have a tendency to be mean, if we have an inclination to be angry and short-tempered and with a short fuse, prayer can diffuse that. Prayer can remove that. If we have a spirit of anger, prayer can remove that. Amen? So we got to pray always and pray for others to be healed. He said, I've heard your prayers, and watch this. I didn't see this until today. I have seen your tears. Wow. I wrote a statement here in my notes. Sometimes, this is what I wrote, sometimes tears louder than words.
Wow. Wow.
Sometimes tears speak louder than words.
Wow.
Hezekiah wept, the Bible says, sorely. He didn't just cry. It wasn't just no few tears. He turned his face to the wall, and he wept. He cried something awful. And God said, I have seen your tears. I have heard your prayers, and I'm going to turn this thing around. I feel the Holy Ghost. I decree and declare God's going to turn something around in your life tonight. God's going to turn that negative situation around. God's going to turn that bad situation around. God's going to turn that ungodly situation around. God's going to turn it around. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, he's the God of the turnaround.
Amen.
Hezekiah was sick unto death, but he prayed. He knew the power of prayer. He knew the purpose of prayer. He knew that God was a healer. That's purpose. That's power of prayer. And God healed him. He said, I'm going to add 15 years to your life, and I'm going to deliver you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And we got to pray for others to be healed.
Yes. Hallelujah.
My wife got a phone call today. Someone had a situation with sickness, and we're praying for that person. We received a call earlier this week. We're praying for the sick. We're praying for those going through with health. 3 John 2 says what? Beloved, I wish above all things that we prosper, number one, be in good health, number two, even as our souls prosper, number three. God wants us to be totally healed, totally set free, and totally let our souls grow and develop into what God wants them to become.
Yes.
So we got to know that, again, if we're taking medicines, if we have disabilities or handicaps, if we're going through in our health, don't stop praying. Never stop praying. Never cease from praying. The Bible says men ought always to pray and never stop ceasing. Pray without ceasing, James said. That means we can't stop until we're healed, until we're totally delivered and set free from our infirmity. David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Amen.
But the Lord will deliver us out of them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
All. So in due season, God's going to heal you. In Kairos, at that set appointed time, God's going to deliver you from your infirmities. Amen?
Amen.
Point number three, principle number three, we must pray for deliverance. We always have to pray to be delivered. Go to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter number 22. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have that life more abundantly. We're seeing here in Luke chapter number 22, Jesus is about to speak to Simon. Simon of Barjona, you know his name was Peter. Peter, the stone, the rock later on in Scripture. But here we see in what Jesus said in John 10:10, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the thief. And Jesus got wind of what the devil, Satan, Lucifer, wanted to do to Peter. Look at Luke chapter number 22, verse number 31, keeping that thought in mind that we must pray for deliverance or pray to be delivered. Luke 22:31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 32, "But I have prayed." My Bible is in red ink. This is Jesus saying, "I prayed. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death." And he said, "I tell you, Peter," now he called them Peter. Before it was Simon, Simon. But now he's saying Peter. That means pay attention to what I'm about to say. "The rooster or the cock will not crow three times today before you deny me three times." Jesus prayed for deliverance for Peter. You and I got to pray to stay delivered and pray for others to be delivered. Amen.
Amen.
If the devil would have had his way, he would have sifted Peter like wheat. He would have gave Peter a hard way to go. Jesus told Peter, "The devil has his eyes and sight on you, but I'm praying." Oh, hear what Jesus prayed for, that your faith fail not. We can't do this in our own strength, people of God. The just shall live by faith.
Amen. Amen.
We have to have faith in God, not in ourselves. Jesus said, "Have faith in God."
Amen.
So he was saying to Peter, "I pray that your faith do not fail. And when you are converted, or when you get through this, now pray or help others get delivered."
Yeah.
My God.
My God. My God.
Pastor, you here with me. Can we please, as the body of Christ, get to the place where we're the first ministry for ourselves? I got to help myself before I can help somebody else. I gotta try to get right. No, we're not going to be perfect, but we got to strengthen ourselves first. We got to help ourselves before we can help anybody else. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I'm going to show you an example of this. Go to Luke chapter number 6. If you're still in Luke, go to Luke chapter number 6. I like to back up what I say with Scripture because I don't want it to be my opinion. I know it's in the Word of God. I'm not just trying to shoot off at the mouth and just give my own opinion on stuff. I try to back it up with the Word of God, that we got to try to get ourselves together before we can help anybody else. Amen. This is why we got to pray, you know, the power of prayer and the prayer of faith, and know that there's a purpose to pray. Look at Luke chapter number 6. Start at verse number 36. Luke 6:36. "Be you therefore merciful as your Father is merciful." In other words, we got to be merciful to people like God is merciful to people. Verse 37, "Judge not that you won't be judged. Condemn not and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. He's saying we can't judge other people, or that same judgment going to come toward us. We can't condemn other people, or people will condemn us.
Amen.
We must pray for forgiveness and pray for the forgiveness of others. Look at verse number 38. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, I feel the Holy Ghost, pressed down, shaken together, and running over to the overflow, shall men give back into your bosom. For with the same measure that you give, it will be given back to you again. Wow. Can I just share a thought on verse 638, but I really want to get to verse number 39. I'm going to read verse 39 because that's what I want to get to. Then I'm going to shed light on 38 and 39. But 39, when I was saying we got to help ourselves before we can help anybody else, verse 39 says, and he spoke this parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch? In other words, there was another text in Matthew where he says, don't try to take a speck out of your neighbor's eye before you remove the boulder out of your own eye.
Amen.
He said, first move that plank. The King James said a plank. That means a big tree. 2x4, Pastor said. Big old 2x4 piece of wood in our own eye that we can't even see right. He said, first remove that thing out of your own eye, and then that little speck of dust that you see in that other person's eye, then go try to help that other person. This is not to condemn you or put you down, but I've seen people try to step up in ministry, people try to get into position before they're ready, people try to get to the place where you can't tell them nothing anymore. People get this spirit of arrogance, and this spirit of, I know everything. God said, no, humble yourself. Before you think you can help somebody else, you got to help yourself. Because without love, we're nothing but a clinging brass or a tingling cymbal. Some people can preach. They can prophesy. They can teach, Pastor said. But if we don't have love in our heart, people can pick that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People pick that. They pick up on that. My wife always says, and she reminds me, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
I need to know you care about me. I thank God for eloquent words. Thank God we can whoop and hoop. Thank God we can teach and prophesy. But where's the love? I preached that in North Carolina. God, please bring the love back to the church. We got to love one another.
Amen.
But give, and it shall be given back to you. Every week on our prayer line, even during Bible study, we ask for people to give. Give to our local church. Give into the ministry. I just want to say this. When you give to New Creation Church, that's a wonderful opportunity to give. Because you're giving into good ground. You're sowing seed into good harvest.
Amen.
And when you give, the Bible says right here, it will be given back to you. That's not a plea just for you to give to our church. But every week, people probably say, why they ask to give every week? It's a prayer line. It's a Bible study. We need money to do ministry. And when you sow into this ministry, you're sowing into good ground. The Bible says in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
So when you send a check to New Creation, when you use your credit card and sow $20, sow $10, sow that $100, $50, when you give to our church, God sees that. And the Bible says right here in Luke 6:38, it comes back to you. When you give, it comes right back to you. Amen. So we got to pray for deliverance. I'm about to wrap this up. But we got to pray, number one, there's a right and wrong way to pray. We got to pray with a spirit of humility. Number two, We got to pray for healing and pray for others to be healed.
Amen.
Number three, Jesus prayed for Peter because Satan would deceive him as wheat. We got to pray for deliverance and then get to the place right here where we pray for deliverance for other people. He said, don't judge, don't condemn, ask for forgiveness, forgive others. And then he finally says, don't let the blind lead the blind. In other words, let's help ourselves before we can help anybody else. Point number four, principle number four, we got to pray for prosperity. Pray for prosperity. It's not going to happen automatically. We got to pray for prosperity. Go to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go to the book of Nehemiah. It's around there, around Ezra and Job and Esther. Chronicles, Pastor said. But Nehemiah chapter number one. We're going to see how Nehemiah prayed for prosperity. And we're going to see how his prayer was answered. Pray for God to pay your mortgage. Pray for God to get you to the place where you're debt free. Pray for God, the wealth of the wicked being stored up for the righteous. Pray for enough money to pay your bills. We got to pray, not just in the area of money, but pray for good health. Pray for God to make a way where there is no way. Let's see how Nehemiah prayed for prosperity. And we're going to see in number one, an example of how he prayed for prosperity. In chapter number two, we're going to see the manifestation of that prosperity. Amen? Nehemiah, chapter number one. Read the whole thing in your private time, even after we get off to the prayer line today, because the whole thing is a prayer. Chapter number one, the whole thing is a prayer. Because some people came to Nehemiah, and he asked about his people, how they were doing, and Nehemiah went right into prayer mode. But I just want to read verse number 11. Verse number 11, chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 11. Read verse 1 to 11 in your private time. Verse 11 says, O Lord, this is a prayer, a model prayer. I beseech thee, let now your ear be attentive to my prayer, your servant, and to the prayer of your servants. He wasn't the only one praying. There were more people praying for prosperity who desire to fear your name. We have to have a reverential fear of God. And they have a desire to prosper. I pray thee, your servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I am the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah prayed, let me put it in my own words. He said, God, I'm coming to you. Be attentive or pay attention to my prayer because I'm your servant. And there's some other people praying, and they are your servants. And if you read chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, you'll see how Nehemiah repented for the people of God that went to idol gods, disobeyed God, and they got in this predicament where the walls were burnt down, God's church was burnt down, the temple of God was torn down into rubble because the people of God disobeyed God, came out of the will of God. Now Nehemiah is praying for God to do something about it. Look at chapter number 2, verse number 4. He prayed for God to give him favor with the king. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If we're going down to the bank for a mortgage, we got to pray for God to give us favor with the loan officer. If we need a job, we got to pray for God to give us favor with the hiring person or the human resource department. If we need a building to have church in, we got to pray for favor with the landlord to give us the building. Are y'all following the train of thought? Those who have the power, those who have the resources, those who have the means of what we need, we got to pray to God to give us favor before we set up the meeting with the people that have what we need. Nehemiah prayed for God to give him favor with the king. Chapter number 2, verse number 4. Then the king said unto me, "For what do thou make request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. I like this. We're talking about prayer tonight. We're talking about the purpose and power of praying. In chapter number 1, he said, "God, I'm going to go before the king. I don't know how this thing going to turn out, but I pray that you give me favor with the king." Verse 4, he goes to the king, and the king first statement back to Nehemiah, "What do you request?" Oh, my God. I feel the Holy Ghost. What is it, your request? Then Nehemiah, before he went back to the king with this request, or the details of this request, went back to God and prayed to God, "What should I ask the king for?" Verse 5. And he said unto the king, "If it please the king, if I have found favor in your sight, if you would send me to Judah, to the city of my fathers and their graves or their sepulchres, that I may build it or rebuild it." And the king said unto me, with the queen sitting right behind him, verse 6, "For how long shall your journey take? And how long will it be before you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a set time. Moreover, now he's adding to his request. "Moreover, I said to the king, if it pleased the king, let him give me the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I get to Judah." In other words, they will accompany me so that no harm will come to me or those traveling with me. I need an army around me that will get me from here to there. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that they may give me wood and timber to make the beams to rebuild the gate. I'm going to stop there. That's like, let me bring it to 2017. I need the National Guard to go with me and protect me while I go back and rebuild the wall.
Amen.
Then I need Home Depot and Lowe's and Trader Horn to give me all the wood that I need to rebuild the church. I feel God. Woo! And the Bible says the king gave him everything he wanted. Because we got a clue in verse number 5, he found favor with the king. Didn't Hezekiah pray for favor in chapter number 1? And in chapter number 2, we see he got that favor from God. Because my scripture tells me God turns the heart of the king. God influences the heart of the king. He was a king cupbearer. He was a nobody in the sight of a king. But he got favor from God.
Amen.
As we close out tonight, God wants us to have favor. I want to decree and declare to you tonight that favor is following you.
Amen. Amen.
The favor and grace of God is upon your life. So we, in response to that, now have to release our faith. We have to take some risk. We got to take some chances. We just got to go for it. The potential and the treasure on the inside of us, we got to just go after our dreams. Go after our ambitions. Go after our desires. Just go for it. Yes, we got to think. We got to plan. We got to strategize. But we sometimes just got to do. And God is saying we have favor. We have found favor in the sight of God. And now that we found favor in the sight of God, he's saying, you got favor. Go on that job interview. You got favor. Write the book. You got favor. Go out to the community and ask them to come to your church. Go out. Pass out tracts. Win souls. You got favor. Talk to your coworkers about the grace of God. Talk to your family members about getting saved and born again and giving their lives to Christ. We got favor, people of God. So when we pray, the power and purpose of prayer is a powerful thing. Pray for healing. Pray for deliverance. Pray for prosperity. And pray for God to do what man cannot do. There's a right and a wrong way to pray. We always got to pray with a spirit of humility. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you, Lord, that we pray for humility. We pray for our hearts to be humbled on tonight. This life on many occasions tries to make us bitter. People have come against us. People have hurt us. People have disappointed us. People have let us down. And it's so easy for our hearts to get bitter. Some people have betrayed us. Some people have come against us for no reason at all. We've tried to help them. We've tried to love them. We've tried to give our gifts to people only for them to turn against us and come against us sometimes. So on many occasions, the enemy tried to make us have a bitter heart. But God, we thank you that you continue through the power of prayer. You keep us on course. You keep us fighting the good fight of faith. You allow us to stay in church and to stay in your will. Isaiah says, if we be willing in obedience, we shall eat of the good of the land. So God, help us to stay on that narrow road. In Jesus' name, I pray. And let the people of God say, amen. Well, good night, everyone. We thank you for coming to tonight's Bible study. I pray that this was helpful to you. Pray for your healing. Pray for your deliverance. Pray for prosperity. Pray for me this week. We'll be doing a eulogy on Saturday. And just pray that God be glorified, souls will be saved, even at a funeral, even at a homegoing service, in the name of Jesus. We pray for souls to be saved on Saturday, in Jesus' name. We pray for Treese, that's my brother's Rodney's wife. She lost her son. Let me lift up right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, be with this mother, even as these days approach, for the homegoing service and funeral of Philip. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this mother, even my brother Rodney, his stepson, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this family, Lord. Be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. See you at New Creation Church on Sunday. God bless. Good night, everyone. Love you. God bless you.